You are listening to Down Home. Imagine this. You're chatting with someone and the conversation veers towards Nova Scotia, which is in Canada for our American listeners. Suddenly, you mention the rich black history woven into the province's fabric. The reaction? Empty gazes, surprise, disbelief? Yes, this is true. It's a situation black Nova Scotians come across more frequently than you expect. Picture the shock when we recount tales of our ancestors who blazed trails, battled for freedom and equality against all odds. This astonishment serves as yet another reminder that history, especially for racialized communities, often lies hidden beneath layers of neglect and disregard. In this episode, Jay and I delve into the New York Times article titled A Journey Through Black Nova Scotia, penned by Shayla Martin and initially released on September 12, 2022. In this article, Shayla writes about her thoughts and observations as she tours around various black historic sites in Nova Scotia. A link to her site will be on the show notes. I encourage you to read the article. It's a good synopsis of what it's like for an African American to discover black history outside of the U.S. I'm Derek Wise, and on behalf of Jay Jones, welcome to Down Home, the Canadian experience from two black men. Breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, sip a breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, sip a breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, sip a breaking new ground, breaking new ground, breaking new ground, yeah. On a high plateau from the one down below. Yeah, I saw this article, or actually I heard about the article, I should say, about a year ago.
I think we might have talked about it.
We talked about it, and I kind of, well, I tried, someone sent me the link, and I didn't have access to New York Times at the time.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, my wife's given me access to New York Times. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. What did you think about the article?
I thought it was pretty cool in the sense of how people want to know their history. You know, she had an inkling and she, you know, searched it. But it was also kind of sad just in the simple fact that, you know, something that we always struggled with was the fact that, you know, none of that stuff was ever really known unless you search for it. And to hear some of the testimony she heard from some of the residents of Africville, say there was one lady she talked to and she was like, it was such a pleasure to grow up in Africville, you know, because mm-hmm. of the community. So, you know, you could see how, as you read those things, I was, you know, we weren't there for Africville, but I don't know, man, it just kind of leaves you a little bit sad a bit.
The author of the New York Times article is Shayla Martin, an award-winning travel writer and editor with a passion of exploring the world and its diverse food. Shayla is currently based out of Washington, D.C., with a journey that spans from New York City to North Carolina and even Madrid. Shayla's writing talents are showcased through her work as the former digital editor of Four Seasons magazine, where she developed her skills and passion for storytelling. Her byline graces the pages of prestigious publications such as the New York Times, Architectural Digest, Coastal Living, AARP Magazine, Veranda, Hemisphere, and many more. You can tell that Shayla has a passion for storytelling in this article about Nova Scotia. One of the things you were talking about, I think her name was Andrea Davis. Mm-hmm. She runs the Black Loyalist Heritage Center in Shelburne. Mm-hmm. And she was commenting on how there, when she was growing up, there was no focus on black culture or understanding. And we've talked about that many times too. Like mm-hmm. when we were growing up, besides the church and our elders, there was no focus on black culture or what's considered to be black culture, our history. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was no focus on our history at all. Like, honestly, I've learned more about Nova Scotian Black history in the last 5 or 6 years than, you know, and I'm a man in my 50s. I'm 51, actually. Not my 50s, I'm 51. But you know what I mean, it's kind of sad in that aspect, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, it was never available, and not only that, the elders didn't really talk about it either. You know what I mean? And the imagine the history we didn't have. Imagine the history that they didn't see or even educated about. And, you know, a lot of our early ancestors weren't educated like we ended up being, you know. But they had the stories, but they didn't talk about it. I wonder why. Was it because of the harsh realities, or was it just about, we're here, we got to survive, let's do what we can? And especially when it comes to Africville, she mentions, and even some of the residents here, and of what we know, Africville was a thriving community, businesses, a bank, a post office, a church, you know, a neighborhood. People owned their land. The generational wealth was there.
Africville was a historic Black community located in Halifax, Nova Scotia. The community's history dates back to the early 1800s, when Black loyalists and Black refugees of the War of 1812 settled in the area. Initially, Black people settled in the outskirts of Halifax due to segregation and discrimination. Over time, Africville grew into a vibrant and tight-knit community, despite facing systemic racism and neglect from the municipal government. The residents built homes, churches, a school, and other essential infrastructure, all on their own, without the help and support of the local municipality. The community lacked basic services such as running water, sewage systems, and proper roads due to the fact that the local municipality refused to invest resources in the area. This is a blatant display of racism when you consider the fact that the municipality collected taxes from each homeowner. Despite this, the residents of Africville created a rich and vibrant cultured life with strong community bonds and a deep sense of Black identity. Throughout the years, there were various attempts by the city to relocate Africville residents, often under the guise of urban renewal or development projects. Despite community protest and resistance, the city eventually made the decision to forcibly relocate the residents and demolish Africville in the 1960s. Yeah, the author really, she did a pretty thorough tour. Mm-hmm. Around different sites, and then ended up at the Africville annual picnic. Mm-hmm. And that's where she actually, the author, I should mention, her name is Shayla Martin from the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Youngish African American lady. Yeah, but she mentioned how similar she walked up to this picnic and said, you know, these women could have been her aunties from mm-hmm. down home in the States. Right. Mm-hmm. Another example of how, even though we're separated by distance, the Black community in North America, there's more that binds us together than separates us. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, for sure. And talking about communities, the simple fact that, you know, they were like at different parts of history, there were 50 Black communities within Nova Scotia, you know, which I didn't know, which kind of had dissipated by the time we were born, you know?
Yeah. If you looked at the pictures in the article, like she said, yeah, this community, and it was like an open field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's exactly. Kind of... Yeah, it's kind of... I don't know how I feel about that though, right?
Yeah. Well, from a perspective of Black people and being Nova Scotian and being Canadian and not always knowing our history other than what we were raised with, it's sad that all that history is lost somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And And that's the thing. Any culture, any heritage, if they lose their sense of self and don't know their history, how do you find your place? You know,
yeah, exactly.
Even though we do,
yeah,
but you know, because we all do, the human race just survives and we do what we have to do. But our histories and our cultures, you know, people of color is not well known. That's what I find the saddest.
Yeah. Well, one encouraging thing about this article is that Shayla actually got to interview Renee Boudreau. So Renee mm-hmm. Boudreau is the lady that opened up a an experiential tourist kind of company.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the one that was, she would do like, she partnered with a bike tour company, and she has a Black historical bike tour, and there was a Black excellent boat cruise in the Halifax Harbor, and other type of historical events like that yeah. kind of tours around the province.
Mm-hmm.
That's very encouraging. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, either did I. So yeah. I think you know, on the level, at a grassroots level, I think there are people who are interested in delving in to seeing what they can find, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think if you come face to face with a lot of people, especially if you were, you know, if you go to like the Africville celebration, I think you hear a lot of stories, and I think people would be a lot more open to talking about it in that kind of environment, mm-hmm. because it celebrates the pride and the history and the culture. Not to say what happened was a travesty, but you know, what can we, you know, take from that and move on forward? You know, we just got to keep on talking about it, I think. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. But the author Shayla Martin, I think one of the things that surprised her, I kind of read into this a little bit, was she found there was a very close-knit sense of community in Nova Scotia amongst the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like an expression of surprise. Nova Scotia has a rich history of close-knit Black communities that have formed over centuries, often stemming from the experiences of Black loyalists, refugees of the War of 1812, and Black immigrants from various parts of the world. Apart from Africville, there are other long-standing Black communities in Nova Scotia. There is North Preston, East Preston, Cherry Brook, Beachville, and Whitney Pier. In all these communities, you'll find a deep sense of pride in their heritage, resilience in the face of historical injustices, and a commitment to preserving Black culture and history for future generations. These close-knit Black communities in Nova Scotia continue to be centers of strength, culture, and activism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because I think there's that overwhelming sense that when you move away from Nova Scotia and you tell someone that you're from Nova Scotia, As Renee Boudreau was saying, because she had moved back to explore her heritage there, is, you know, there's Black people in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
You know, it and you know, the fact of the matter is we were the largest before the mass immigration from the Caribbean in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
Nova Scotian held the largest Black population in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact that I think is lost on a few people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was always, yeah. I remember, you know, those stories of Halifax being heavily populated per capita, you know?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, we experienced that. There was always, mm-hmm. you know, different concentrations of Black communities, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that, looking back, it's something that we kind of took for granted. I took for granted, for sure.
Yeah, and I think we all did too. And also, the community just sort of started to break apart when we lost like some of those community leaders, you know, as they moved on. You know, that close-knit community just seemed to dissipate as we got older and experienced different things, and you know, and just trying to survive.
Yeah, the author, how did she took a, she had lunch in the North End, and she described it. Obviously didn't do her research about the North End of Halifax, but she said, what she say? She described it as a trendy neighborhood filled with colorful houses.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's when gentrification started, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2022. Yeah, that's sure. Full-fledged gentrification.
Full-fledged, yeah. Well, yeah. Even when we went down last year, it was like, whoa, this is not the North End I remember.
Yeah, like, and I went for a walk in by the Armories, right? Not near the Commons. There was this humongous, like, outdoor patio that was like, it was like a beer garden.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? And like, you're just walking down Agricola Street, all the trendy hipster locations. Man, it's I'm of two minds though, because it's kind of sad to see that the legacy families weren't able to stay for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Whether that be taking advantage of the sale of the property to better further their families or whatever, whatever. A lot of them, most of them own their homes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever that may be. But it was kind of sad to see that all the legacy families on Creighton Street and Main Street were not able to stick it out.
To sustain. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's one of the problem with gentrification. I think any neighborhood loses part of their identity because people get pushed out or they sell.
Well, interesting article, Journey Through Black Nova Scotia, New York Times, which is pretty cool, by Shayla Martin. It came out way back in September 12th of 2022. You have been listening to Down Home. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
On a high plateau, from the one down below to the future of the funk, getting lost in the flow. Contact with the spot, my gex. Now it's time to flex with the force from the soul, reaching all aspects, getting deep, no time to sleep as you reach your next phase, laying it all on the line. New trail start to blaze, it's a fire inside, a brand new path, breaking down the sum to one, feeling free. I just laugh with the joy.
The song Breaking New Ground from The Breakdown. The vibe like magic prescribed, only to seal a perfect blend, like a diamond in the rough, ready to drop a perfect gem. It's time to shine so fine, to see what you find. Revolution.